as I was just saying, that if that song that we just sang, "This Is the Reason" and "Jesus Abides in Our Soul" is the truth, that would be worth so much more than riches and wealth and fame and fortune. But unfortunately, in the Christian community today, people begin to think that wealth, fame, and fortune is Christianity, and those that don't have it, many times they feel that those individuals do not have faith. And in order for us to bring this chapter to a close, chapter 23, I wanted to give it a different title than the first part. This title would be on the last part: what are the methods used by the false prophets to steal God's word from the people? Long title and a long history. We've been going through the book of Jeremiah. We've gone through the book of Judges. We've gone through the book of Kings. We've seen over and over again where individuals would get a warning from God and they would not heed it. The first part that we covered in chapter 23, it showed how the people were totally outside of God's will, listening to the people, and got to the place where God said, "The time is going to come when I execute my judgment because you all have been listening to the false leaders." Well, the leaders are true leaders, but they're not leading you to God, so therefore it's called false leaders, because leading anyway one away from God is not really leading them as a shepherd would lead the sheep to green pastures. What it's doing is leading a person to destruction, not only the one that's doing the leading, but the one that's doing the following. And God had said in that, I believe it's the 7th and 8th verse, actually, the 7th and 8th verse, "The time will come, even after I bring you this root that will be the righteousness for all people," which is truly going to be his son, "that you will no longer be saying that the Lord God that brought us up out of Egypt, but you'll be saying the Lord that brought us out of bondage." And we talked a little bit about how that is that that's a sad statement as well as a statement of joy. Then that God has to go and take you and beat you down and deliver you so that you can finally realize who he is. Well, and I stopped at that 8th verse last week because I didn't want to rush chapter 23. But there's another portion of this that deals with the prophets. I understand we had leaders and prophets last week, but let's look at this title again. What are the methods used by the false prophets to steal God's words from the people? Last week, I talked about to what end or what measure would God do to deliver you from those people. We showed that. So what is the methodology that the people are using to cause God to have to do that? Let's roll into God's word and taste this thing. I believe we can go through this and pull and extract the juice out of it and find something that's applicable to our life. Listen to what Jeremiah says in verse 9. "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets, and all my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both the prophet and the priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord." Listen to this. "Mine heart is within me is broken because of the prophets, and my bones shake." Now here Jeremiah speaks that my heart is broken. My heart is in despair. My heart has sadness, and it's like I tremble because, and I'm just like a drunk man because of what has happened to these people. And yet when people see the judgment that Jeremiah proclaims, they make it seem like Jeremiah is hard. But you can see Jeremiah's heart a lot of times in this scripture. I know what God is like. I know about the words of God's holiness. I know who God is. God is talking to me. He's letting me know what's going to happen. And the prophets are telling the people that what I'm telling them from God is not so. That I'm making it up. That I'm giving. I would just say in what our normal day conversation would say, a negative message. A message that's not full of hope. A message that's full of despair. I submit to you that when God gives a straight and a direct warning, that is your hope. That's your hope that if you're going to fall and do what he says not do, your hope is that you know what? You at least know what's coming. Your hope is really should be that I'm going to avoid that by repenting. But those that don't repent, they seemingly harden their neck like an animal that won't take the yoke when it's time for him to go plow. So he says, my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man whom wine has overcome. It's like I'm drunk. And it's because of the words of God's holiness. I'm overcome with it. Have you ever seen anybody overcome with liquor, wine, beer, whatever? They slur, they stumble, they fall. Jeremiah said, I'm overcome with the words of God's holiness. And I understand what's going to happen. And if anybody has a heart of concern for somebody, you don't want to see people destroyed. You don't want to see bodies laying in the street. You don't want to see the dogs eating people that you've seen that you've tried to help. You don't want to see somebody destroyed that you tried to help. But Jeremiah said it's coming. Verse number 10 says, and the land is full of adulterers. It's not just a few people. It's the majority. And because of oaths, because of swearing, the land mourneth. Now you can take this to be that the people have sworn to follow God and they didn't. But you can also take this to mean that because God has already sworn that this is going to happen, and I submit to you that God has sworn it's going to happen, going way back in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and the land is in mourning as if someone has died. The land, the people, have lost life and what life is all about. And it says the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Do you understand when God said through this prophet to dry it up? I stop giving you my water. I stop blessing you. I start taking your abundance away from you. I gave you a place where you all would be able to have things so much better, so much at ease. You would still be able to do a regular work, but have much so that other nations would want to be a part of you and would look to you. But because you did not do what I say, I took back from you what I have. Let's make an example for us and move on. Many times we are in mourning. Many times things have dried up in our life. Many times we are losing what we should have. Why? Because we are under the swearing of God. You cannot do what God tell you not to do continually. And God does not execute his judgment. He is not wicked. And all of God's judgment is not in the last day. God does many judgments now. And when I say many, I'm talking about M-I-N-I. Many, M-A-N-Y. Many, many judgments now. So that you can turn. That's called the chastening of the Lord. Do not buckle when the Lord chasing you. Do not say that it's not getting any better. It's not getting, things just getting worse and worse since I came to the Lord. And so I'm going to go back like I used to because it ain't doing me any good. That's a temptation. It's a real temptation. But who is going to stand here and tell God, you've chastened me enough. This is enough now because I understand what you're doing to me now, Lord. Stop.
First of all, you out of place. When you start telling God how long they're chasing you, when you didn't feel like you needed chasing to start with. They're chasing you till he gets you to the place where you've had enough of your folly and what you've been doing in rebellion, and it stinks in your teeth. And then those that repent will never want to go back to that kind of folly. And it says their course is evil, the way that they go. And their force is not right. And you know that's a sad thing, that when your course, the way that you go about, your mode of living is evil. And then at the same time, you don't like the fact that God deals with you like the strength of who you are is wickedness. Jeremiah seems from here to go and start speaking for God is what God is saying. Look at how the transition sounds. For both the prophet and the priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. seems as if Jeremiah is telling you how he feels. And remember, he said he was trembling and he was like a drunken man because of the word of the Lord. When God says the prophet and the priest are profane, understand they are not right. They are ungodly. They are not sacred. I know people think they're profane all the time. It's going to be a word that somebody say, like, gee this, or use the squeeze word with the SH, and that's profane. Let me tell you something that's more profane than that. To call yourself by God's name, to say that you're living by God, and your life is full of pollution, and you think God's word does not mean what it says, and you tell somebody God doesn't literally mean what he says, when I do the wrong. That's profane. It takes the sacredness of God and it puts it down to just the judgment and the whims and the feeling of a man. And this is what they did. And he says, I have found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Verse 12 says, wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in darkness. They shall be driven and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. When you look at this up here, one of the reasons that the people had gotten to the place of where they were, they had a type of judgment of their own. What do you mean a type of judgment of their own? The prophets were deciding for themselves what is right. The prophets are telling people what they think is right. And the prophets have become profane in that they don't honor my word, but they honor their word. And they put their word on equal par with my word. Thus, they have gone against the first commandment. You are not to have another God before. Now, when you start saying that your word is equal to God, what else is that? But then if you don't look at the scriptures deep enough, you don't see that. You don't see them putting themselves on equal par. Neither do people see people today that when they pop off and say they got a revelation knowledge and it goes against the word of God, those people have just spoken as if they got a word from God and it contradicts the God of the scripture, and you don't see that as a competition for God's place in your life. I submit to you that God, if he hates it then, he hates it now. And he said that these people are going to fall. I'm going to make them fall. I'm going to make them fall. I'm going to take them into darkness. They're going to fall. Then I'm going to bring evil and calamity upon them. And then I'm going to bring about a year or a time for visitation. And that visitation don't mean like, hey, how you doing? I brought cookies and milk. This is the kind of visitation where here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. And everybody will know when he gets there that you've been judged and that something has happened to you really bad. Verse 13 says, and I have seen the folly of the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and called the people of Israel to err. What he's saying is, I've seen this same thing happen before. You see, Stephanie, God had already taken Israel, that of the northern port, in the captivity. And he said, I've seen the folly of those prophets. They prophesied in Baal, and they brought plurality. What is plurality, Tim? I'm so glad you asked, Stacy. Plurality is when somebody is making one type of religion equal to another part of religion. And what it does in that is say all of them are equal. All of them can give us rain. All of them could give us crops. All of them could give us what we need. We don't just have to trust God by himself. We don't have to be so exclusive and just have one. We can have more than one. We can cover all of our bases. And sometimes the other, when we worship it, we can have a little laxity in what God wants and have a little fun. So that's called pluralism. And the way that the prophets steal the words out of God's mouth or from the people, they steal God's word from the people's ears, change God's word out of his mouth in the ears of the people, is by giving God an equal and giving someone else another way. They taught that Baalism was okay. And this is in the north. This is what Esther says in verse 14. It says, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem. Notice, now he's come from the north, where Israel is, that has already gone into captivity to Assyria. Now he's coming back down to Judah. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies, and strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. That none doth return from his wickedness. Let me read it in another voice. That none doth return from his wickedness. What do you mean, Tim? Why'd you read it three times? I wanted to give emphasis. That's why I did it. He said in the north they did this thing and they caused the people to err. In the south, he says, the prophets commit adultery. If you're familiar with the scripture, they've done pluralism. Adultery in the scripture, when it comes to dealing with God and idolatry, what that means is you start worshiping idol gods. They brought in plurality. And they commit adultery and they walk in lies. You're following something that's not. You're saying something that's equal to God and it's not. You're saying there's another way to God other than his holy and righteous standard and it's not. And you strengthen the hand of the evildoers. You give them hope when there is no hope. You give them cheer when they should be sad. You give them happiness when they should be sad. You give them the exact opposite of what they need. You give them darkness for light. You give them chaff for wheat, and the people walk in those lies, and you strengthen them in a bubblegum house. I'll give you a case in point. The same thing that happened in America with a lot of these houses where they were putting people in houses that they shouldn't been in, this big old bubble house of cards that collapsed and has caused the economy to go through what it's going through. This is the same thing. You give America hope in nothing. And so the people go and get two and three cars, five and six houses, going and stretching themselves out in bills. When the time of the reality comes, you don't have enough. And Lord knows if that balloon payment comes on a house, what a balloon payment is, Jelly. Sometimes people will buy a property and they may have the house set on what is called an adjustable rate loan. That means whatever the inflation does or the index, that's what the loan would be. And so you may be able to get the loan really, the note, let's just use these simple terms. They may only have to pay $600 a month. But at the end of 2 years, at the balloon payment, they may have to pay $30,000 all at once. That's the balloon payment. That may be if the loan was divided into two. But on the other one, the mortgage may go from what I said to start with, maybe $600 a month, to maybe $1,500 a month. And people were getting those loans because people were telling them, well, you can refinance your house and then just maybe the payment will be $750. It's numbers like that. And so people that could not afford and shouldn't have been doing this were buying houses left and right, living high on the hog, and they were living as if the lies that they were told were true. And they participated in the lies, many of them, pretending that they made more money than they did. In this picture here, you got people telling people lies about what they can get by serving these other gods. And that these things are going to bring about your crop. It's going to bring about the cattle. It's going to bring about peace. It's going to keep you off from being going like Israel did, anybody attacking you. And you got one person saying, this is not right. This is not good economics. This is not a good thing. And the people fought against him. Well, you strengthen the hand of the evildoers, and it says they are all like unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants of Gomorrah. You know, that's pregnant to me. Because when you think about what was Sodom like, Sodom was like a place that when God said, I've heard the weakness of the land, and I'm going to go down and visit it. Sodom is like the place where people were so much into debauchery that when the angel of the Lord came down to bring and to save that city, they mocked and they made fun of the ones that were trying to do right. And I submit to you that at this particular time, that because of the lies and because of the things that the prophets have said and have stolen God's word and the fear of God out of the hearts of the people, they mocked Jeremiah. They made fun of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is trying to do like the angel did, trying to pull the people out of the Sodom, trying to save the people from God's wrath. And what did they do? They mocked and they incurred the judgment. I submit to you that God is saying that it's on. You know how black people say sometimes it's on? That means I'm ready to do something? Well, it's on now. Verse 15 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts. That's his military name. The Lord of hosts. Concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them to drink the water of gall, For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness going forth into all the land. Did you miss that? Did you miss it? Did you get it? You know, because I've seen a preacher on TV almost every time he think he say something deep, he say, you missed that. That went over your head. You missed it. Y'all missed that. How you know? You didn't ask anybody, did they miss it? But here's the part that I think that people would miss. In that last clause there, it says, from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaned as gone forth into all the land. The starting point is the prophets. The prophets that would serve as the priests, the prophets that would serve as those that love God. And so because the prophets that are teaching the people are still in the words of God, they are teaching plurality, the prophets have spread this, and now it has caught on like a disease, and it's an epidemic of it. Whereas it was just the prophets teaching in the beginning. Whereas it was the prophets that were saying these things, now it is, when he says spread through all the land, instead of just the prophet being profane, the whole holy nation of Israel, which was supposed to be holy, a priesthood, is now profane. There's a profane nation of people that are supposed to be the people of God. And that's very bad and sad. Because I submit to you, that's the way many times the people in the world look at the modern day church. It's like you all do the same thing we do. You all get as many divorces as we do. You all make as many babies out of wedlock as we do. You all steal like we do. You all murder like we do. And you all do everything we do. And then you talk about Jesus. I don't need Jesus to do all of that. And when the profaneness comes from the pulpit, the fear of God is gone, stolen from people, and God's word is taken from people, I would submit to you the same thing will continually happen in this society. The church, what we call the church, not the true church, will always be profane until the leaders of the people go back into the place of sacredness of God and stop letting his word be something that you make equal with everything else through plurality. Well, let me go back to the first part of that verse because I wanted to hit that last part where it says profaneness has gone out. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, I will feed them with wormwood. I'm going to give them what they've been giving you. I'm going to feed them with the poison of their ways. I'm going to feed them with the bitterness of their ways. I'm going to make them feel what they've done. They've been feeding you poison. I gave a good food for you to eat. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that come out of the mouth of God, right? Peter talks about the sincere milk of the word that people can grow thereby, right? Hebrews talk about there's a meat of the word, right? That an individual, from the time he ought to be able to eat meat, he's still having to go back with milk. So the Bible speaks of the word as being meat. It speaks of Jesus saying that he's the bread of life. The word of God, therefore, is bread, meat, milk. It's that which is given an individual spirit to grow. But when the individual is preaching the profaneness and the lightness of their wickedness and their ungodliness to people, and people are thinking that something is equal to God when it's not equal to God, that person is giving them profanity. And that person is taking that profanity and they have become light and profane. I submit to you that you have given the people poison instead of the nutritious food that they need to grow thereby. Therefore, God said, I'm going to give you worms. Wood. I'm going to make you drink the water of gall. For from the mouths of the prophets of Jerusalem has gone forth into all the land. Verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They make you lightweight. They make you have no effect in the land of value. They make you like, just like wind. That blows. And they make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. A vision. I had this vision. I had this understanding. Or such and such happened to me. I speak this vision and I speak prosperity on your life. And I speak this into your life. This, I hear people all the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time, I speak this into your life. And I'm going to speak peace into your life. I'm going to speak health into your life. Who are you? You're not God. You don't speak nothing but God's word to me. That's all I want to hear. Your folly means nothing to me. You speak prosperity in my life. What do you mean by prosperity? Are you speaking that I submit to the everlasting word of God? Are you trying to make me feel you saying something good to me, and because you said you got those kind of powers? God said, they make you vain. Watch these people that are prophets that say what you want to hear. They make you vain. They make you lightweight. Watch people that always follow the prophet to get a word. Watch them and look how they live. They go from one prophet to another, one concert after another one, one seminar to another one, one congregation or whatever that thing is that they have at the domes and all of this. They go from one to another. They hear a word from a prophet. They hear some kind of babbler, and they don't realize you're not studying the word of God, and they have made you vain just like these prophets did in Judah. They make you lightweight. They speak a vision. Talking about the Holy Ghost told me, the Spirit told me, and it always just about contradicts the word of God. It's always to make you think you're going to be rich and have something, and you always got to give them money. And it never tells you to really to submit to God and to obey His will and to learn His word and to be willing to suffer when the time comes. Well, I said enough on that verse right there. It said it comes from their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. That's what happened then. And I submit to you, when somebody teaching you something that don't come out of God's word, it's their own thoughts. Verse 17 says, they say still unto them that despise me. Did you catch that? They talking to people that despise me. People that follow the false prophets are the ones that despise God, because God's not saying what they want to hear. They say still to those that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say, everyone that walketh after the imagination of their own heart, no evil should come upon you. Did you catch that? I really believe that's significant. That the ones that are their audience, the ones that really feel that they are really benefiting from the false prophets, from God's vantage point, they despise Him. Will you turn to Deuteronomy 28:29-19 for me? Give me while I look at this. I don't know how to make this stick out, so here's my feeble attempt. When an individual is not interested in the ways of God, often God's ways will contradict what they want to do. Often God's ways will tell you that something that you want to do, you have to give up. Often God's ways may be you have to wait till He says so, because He's trying to mold and shape you. Often God's ways are so separate from others that you stand out like a sore thumb. So when He says, verse 17, they say still unto them that despise me. This is their audience, the ones that despise. The Lord has said, you shall have peace. In other words, you shall have, let me show what that word peace means, so you don't just think it means nobody's going to bother you. Peace, safety, soundness, health, prosperity, quiet, tranquility, in human relationships, in government. The word is shalom. They are saying the very things that many people want to hear. You're going to have health. You're going to have prosperity. You're going to have old loving relationships in your home. And they're not even giving you God's word, and you're going to have it. He says, and these are to the people that despise them, that they're saying you're going to have peace, and say to everyone that walketh after the imagination of your own heart, no evil shall come upon you. I submit to you, I proffer and offer to you from the word of God, that if you're living outside of the will of God, living in sin, living with your girlfriend, living with your boyfriend, living with somebody else's wife, stealing, lying, bat-beating, biting, fornication, whatever it is you're doing, not going into God's word, you're not going to have peace. You're not. And you will be judged. And if you were saved before, you are still going to go to hell. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. Read that scripture for me in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18 and 19. And
lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man.
I like that word, that smoke. Y'all ever watch the movie called The Mask? And Jim Carrey says, smoking! When God's wrath starts smoking, I know I said that, you know, because I want to give you all a little mental break. That's why I said it like that. But I don't want you to lose the efficacy of what's saying. God's going to be smoking on your tail. Read on.
And all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven.
Now the lying, ungodly, wretched preachers will tell you God will not blot nobody's name out of heaven. But what did the word of God say right here? I will blot his name out of heaven. He is talking about those people that are in covenant with him. And look at verse 19. I just want to touch that with all my might. Jelly, tell me if I explain it well, by shaking your head, yes or no, okay? It says, and it shall come to pass when he hear the words of this curse, when God say that you in judgment, when God say I'm going to do something to you, when God say you wicked and the wicked shall be turned into hell, that this person shall say, you know what, I'm going to speak this and bless myself. You know, yeah, some people do that, right? They do the head, the chest, and the two shoulders. And I said, what's that mean? I'm blessing myself. Then you have other people that speak what they call positively. They don't want to say any negative confessions to bless themselves. But he said, he shall bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace. I'm confessing in my heart, I shall have peace. Even though I walk in the imagination of my heart and I add drunkenness to my thirst, I'm going to have peace. What does the Bible say to an individual that have what they call great self-esteem? Positive motivation, and that they feel that they're going to do so and so. The Lord said, I will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. That means it's getting hot. I would say it's red hot. You know, like when the embers, when you're trying to grill something, get red hot, and it look like it's cooling down, but that little gray part there, and the smoke come off of it, and if it's dark, you can see all that red in there. It's smoke against that man and all the curses. God just fulfilling what he says. And thank you for that chapter. Thank you for that verse. You're such a beautiful person. Isn't that nice when your wife help you teach? Isn't that nice? She gave me this paper right here, said, read that. Now, I had forgot about that scripture. I love that scripture. When people speaking, they're going to bless themselves. And I know they're wicked. I mean, some things, everybody ought not be able to look at you and tell you wicked. But there's just some things that are wicked and ungodly. Folk don't hide it much anymore. Why? Because somebody has stole God's word out of their mouth. We're back at Jeremiah chapter 23. We're back at where they said in the last part of verse 17, no evil should come upon me. Or come upon you. They just lied to the people. So now you got a prophet saying no evil going to come upon you. And then we've just shown that you can say that no evil going to come upon you yourself. And yet God said, I'm the one that's going to determine what judgment will be. It doesn't matter what the judgments are from these ungodly prophets. Verse 18 says, for who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Who? That's the question. Who has listened to the Lord? That's the one that you really need to look at. And in our day, we have the Word of God. I understand to make a lot of versions of the Bible that can throw you off. But I'm telling you now, you need to go and look in the Word of God. And I can't just tell you one version is way better than another one. But I can tell you the New American Standard Bible is considered to be one of the most literal. I use the King James. I grew up with the King James. But I'll go back and I'll look up words to see if the word is exactly like it should be translated. Because the text that they use is fine. But sometimes I'm looking at the words translated. But I'm telling you, you will not go wrong with those translations. New King James is going to tell you how to live. It's going to tell you who Jesus is. Don't let your heart be, there's about 70 different versions of the Bible. I don't know. Well, let me tell you now, if you lived in China, they got to have another version if they're going to read it in their language. And it's not going to say the same words the same way. It can't. The words won't allow for that. That all of them don't transfer smoothly, does it, Gary? And you get you a such a Biblia, it's going to say something different.
You get one that's a Hindi. So don't just say, it's just one Bible for everybody. They got to learn English.
Well, why didn't you have to learn Hebrew? Thank you, Jesus. Verse number 19. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until it have executed, until it has performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. God is showing through Jeremiah right here. God is showing right here in this passage, although the prophet said there'll be no problem, although the prophet said you're going to have peace and prosperity, in Deuteronomy it said even if you bless yourself and say that, when God's judgment is coming upon the false prophets who steal the words out of the people's mouth and cause the people to not have the fear of God that they should have, the reverence of God that they should have, and to be sacred or live a holy life and they become profane, his judgment's going to come. There's nothing to return his judgment. I submit to you that one of the most beautiful things that an individual can do is whenever they see the hand of God on them, that they turn in their heart and they turn in their mind to be submissive to God, so that when God has executed his judgment and it is executed, when you consider perfectly, that you turn. The judgment of God is not just to kill you. It's not just to destroy you. The judgment of God is to humble you. It's to make you say what we used to say, say uncle. If you can't say uncle, daddy, God, if you can't submit, then it will destroy you. But other than that, God's judgment. I mean, when you feel God's judgment, can you feel in your soul, I don't want no more of this, Lord, please. Please, Lord, no more. You know, like, no more, please. Whatever it takes, no more. That's what he wants. He wants us to the place when he gives us a judgment, when he lets us go through the thing. No more, Lord. No more. You want to sing this song? I surrender all. I surrender all. Y'all help me sing this. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. That's what God wants to hear. That's what chastisement is for. When I was small enough for you to whip, you and Pop, was it just cause you were bigger than me that, you know, it'll give me somebody I can beat on, you know? I mean, it's times are hard, you know. Got to pay the boy, get you, you know, and he's eating and he likes gas, you know. I got to take out on somebody. So come here, Tim. I'm going to lay across the bed, you know. I'm not whipping any clothes either. So you whip me and you feel better. No, it was because I told you what to do over and over again. And if you can't follow my instruction, you're not going to make it in this world. It's best for me to go ahead and put something on your bottom, because there's a cord from your bottom to your mind that can make your mind get right. So I'm going to put something on your bottom and help you get your mind right, so that when you get out there in the real world, the policeman don't have to go straight to your head with the billy club. That's what chastisement's for. Chastisement in another word. Do you have something you want to say to me?
You didn't say uncle, but you said, I'm
going
mad, I'm
going
mad.
I know, and I can tell that like. You be trying to make it stop. I'm going mad, mom. I'm going mad, daddy. I'll tell you this much, and then we'll move on. If a child is running out in the street, and you don't see the whole thing, and you see the parent slam that child, run behind that child and slam it to the ground, you might want to call the police and say the parent was doing abuse. But if you happen to look up and you see a tractor trailer go, whoo, and you know that if that parent wouldn't have grabbed that child and whatever it took to get it to the ground, that truck would have killed the child, you would feel that the parent was a wonderful parent. They did everything they could to spare that child. I submit to you that there, when you're really doing the right chastening to your children, the only infliction of pain or whatever suffering or punishment that you give is to protect them from something else. I submit to you, when God executes his judgment on us before the final judgment, it's to keep us from the final judgment. is to keep us from that. And that's why when God says his anger, verse 19, the anger of the Lord shall not return until it has executed, till it's performed the thoughts of his heart. What are the thoughts of God's heart? It was to bring them back, those that would listen. It says that in the latter days you will consider it perfectly. So you see it? There's even hope in that. If somebody hadn't been following us through the book of Jeremiah, they would not understand that he had promised some of them would make it back. Many will not. Verse 21 says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. God said, I ain't said anything to them, but they still prophesied in my name. In my name. In my name. That's blasphemy. Not only have they brought about plurality and said everything is good, but they taught people that there's peace when I say there's not peace, which is blasphemy. They're calling me a liar. And now these prophets are out here saying they're speaking in my name. They're making my name to be abused in the minds of people. Why? Because it makes it look like I'm not a righteous judge and that I'm a liar. Well, it says they ran, and then they said they prophesied in his name. Well, look at verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. You see, the false prophet steals the words out of the people, out of the people's ears, by changing God's word. Instead of being exclusive, he makes it plural. Everybody's word is just as good. They blaspheme God's name because what they do is they say that their way is just as good as God. They tell the people they're speaking for God when they're not. And the other thing that is really bad about it is that God said if they had listened to me, they could have told them what I had to say. But they didn't listen to me. They did not stand at my counsel. What is God's counsel? His word, his advice, his statutes, his judgments, his commands. If you had caused the people to hear that, then you would have turned the people from their wicked ways. You wouldn't have made friends and influenced people. You would have upset some people. But you would have caused the people to have to face them. Their wickedness, you would have shined the light in their darkness, and the people would have been faced with the righteousness of God, and they would have turned. God said they would have turned. God said they would have turned. Look at it. It didn't say they might. He said they would have turned. That's why I don't like a false prophet. And that's why I don't ever want to be one. Verse 23 says, am I a God at hand? Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord? And not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places that I cannot see it? Saith the Lord, do not I fill the heaven and the earth? I have heard what these prophets said, and have prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have a dream today. Deeply rooted in the American dream, I have a dream. I have a dream, I have a dream, I have a dream that I can be the first president, I can be the first black president. I got a dream like other people's dream. I don't care nothing about your dream, God is saying. I care about my word. What good is if a little black children to get along with little white children, if they're getting along together, having sex, getting drunk, doing drugs, lying, stealing, and being perverted? What good is it? What your dream ought to be is that I just want to do God's will. And how do you get to that place? You learn what God said. And the emphasis on this was, first, God said, I'm not afar off. I'm right here. I'm looking at you. I know what you're doing. I see you when you're sleeping. I know when you're awake. I know when you've been bad or good. So be godly, for goodness sakes. Well, he says, can you hide in the secret places? I see you. I see you at the hotel. I see you out there parked in the secluded place. You and whomever, I see you. I see you when you stole that thing. I see you when you lied on the phone. I see you. But I also see you when you're down on your knees praying. I see you when you're taking time in my word. I see you whenever you did something for that person and nobody will ever know. I see. God say, do not I fill heaven and earth? I'm the truth. I'm everywhere. You don't need to hear them. And God said, I have heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying that I have dreamed. I submit to you that I have books at home by men like E.W. Kenneth Hagin, and different ones. And I'm telling you, I got books where they have plagiarized each other, teaching each other's words. You can watch sometime on the Christian television show sometime. If a person come out with something burden breaking and or something like that, other people will come out with it. If somebody starts saying it's their season, if they say the year Jubilee, and you'll start hearing people, it'll just keep going down, down, and down the line. Whatever little thing it is to get money, I submit to you that God is not interested in your dream. And I'm talking about a dream where you're talking about you got something that's going to contradict God's word. There's nothing wrong with you having a dream to be a doctor, to be a lawyer, to be a plumber, to be a teacher, even if you want to be an esthetician, just be a good one. For those that don't know what estheticians are, isn't that the ones that do your nails and stuff like that in your face? They make people cute. I just use that. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes down to God's word, you don't dream about what God's word got to say and it contradicts it. This is what these people were doing. Verse 26 says, how long should this be? In the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies. Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart. The people are teaching deceit of their own heart. They're giving people information that's not true. And I tell you now that when you follow the lies of a false prophet and they saying it's coming in the name of the Lord, it is a different Lord and it's idolatry. It's idolatry. You may not see a statue, but they would follow a statue. They would bend down to another statue. Deuteronomy chapter 13 talks about this, and I'm not going to stay there long. I just want you to just see how bad this was. Deuteronomy 13 and 1, I think I can stop at about the third verse. Listen to this. If there arise among you a prophet 800 years before, or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the one that come to pass, whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, let us go up to other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to you. He has spoken to you to drive you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord your God commanded you to walk in. So shall you put evil out of the way of the midst of thee. And if I were to read on, I guess just for the sake of somebody that might listen to this on the podcast, they may not believe it. Verse 6 says, if your brother, your son, the son of thy mother, the son of thy daughter, or thy wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other God, which thou hast not known. Thou or thy father's name of the God of the people that are round about thee, even nigh unto thee, or afar off from the one end of the earth to the other, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him. Thou shalt not spare him, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. Then verse 10 will tell you to stone him. Now, this is the economy that they had. Gary likes that word, economy. This is the economy that they had. This is the economy they were living in Judah. I submit to you that in our economy, we're not to take them and kill them, but we are to kill their influence with truth. We're supposed, if it's mother, father, sister, and brother, we're supposed to expose it. We're supposed to show that these people are lying on God. Just because a person get a miracle, just because a person pray and you get healed, if they're not teaching you God's word, God can test you and prove you like he did them. Are you going to hold to his word or not? Are you going to be satisfied with what you get for the next maybe 20 to 30 years for some of us is the maximum some of us are going to live? That's right. I submit to you, I do not believe everybody that's here today will be here 30 years from now. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. My dad is almost 70. I don't think he's going to make it to 100. If he does, God bless him. I'm in my 40s. I might not make it to 70. I mean, just the odds of being in traffic, as much traffic as those of us that are in the Atlanta area. Every day we make it, it's a blessing from God. Am I right, Miss Stephanie? People do all kind of stuff when we drive, and then sometimes it's us. But anyway, go back to Jeremiah, verse number 27. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? They are prophets of deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name, which think, listen, to cause the people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. I'm telling you the truth here. I didn't skip a verse, did I? Listen to this. Often, when they would serve Baal, Asherah, and different ones like that, and the people got what they wanted, they forgot about the Lord. Because they started using God for, let me use a word that people use, utilitarian reasons. When you talk about utilitarian reasons that they use the Lord for, is that they decided that this is what we're going to do. We're going to get what we want to get out of God. And when we get what we want to get out of God, that's going to be enough. And you can't do God like that. So when they had the other gods and they got what they wanted, they forgot about the Lord God, because we weren't serving God for what he's already done and for who he is, but for what we could get. I submit to you that many times the Christian community of today, they present a God that you can get what you want as opposed to who he is. And when you present God for who for what he wants instead of who he is, you're invariably going to lie. Because people are attracted to what makes them happy, and God is about what makes him happy and what makes righteousness spread in the land. And it says, these people, they cause the people to forget my name. I submit to you that God's name, his ways, and his character are similar. So you make people forget that God is holy. You forget that. You make people forget that God is just. You forget that. You only want to teach that God is grace. You only want to teach that God is loving. So you forget God's name is judge of all the earth. You forget God's name is God is jealous. You forget God's name is the one that sits on heaven and he looks down, he looks around the earth to see what's going on, like he just got through saying, and he judges every man according to his works. You make people forget God's name. You make them forget who he is. And then you give a different interpretation of what grace is. Grace is not just come and make you to give you a chance to live right. It's grace is going to give you the ability to live right, to do God's word, so that when he judges you for it, you cannot say, I didn't have the ability. We almost do. We at verse 27 right here. I'm going to take a question right here. We're just going to finish this chapter today. I want to know if you all want me to go ahead and finish this chapter, or come back, do half of it and go to break. All I need to see is three hands, and they'll let me know if you want to go ahead and finish the chapter. Just three. I see one, two, three. I see all of them. Okay. Now, to go back to where I was. Have we forgotten God's name? When we talk about God, do we make him so generic that he doesn't really have a name? He's no more than Santa. He's no more than the higher spirit, no more than the man upstairs. If we have, maybe we're given the false vision and dream. 28 says, that prophet that has a dream, let him tell his dream. And he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? This is so beautiful. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh rocks into pieces? God said, let them say what they got to say. If a person got a dream, they want to talk what they want to talk, let them. Let them say what they got to say. You all not executing the judgment that should have been. They wouldn't have got that much of a foothold. If you had been following me to start with, you wouldn't have been following them. But because you despised me, you wanted to hear the smooth stuff. You didn't want to hear the right stuff. So you got what you wanted. He said, but if you're going to follow me, he that has my word, speak it faithfully. Gary, that's our job. We must speak God's word faithfully, no matter what the opposition is, no matter if no one else wants to hear it, no matter if they want to say that we're narrow-minded, bigoted, or whatever, fine, then we're in good company. Or we're actually in godly company. And he says, this thing you might, somebody might not catch, what is the chaff to the wheat? When you're talking about eating for your nutrition, what is the chaff to the wheat? The chaff is lightweight, and the wheat is heavy, and it's nutritious, saith the Lord. And what he's saying here, their word is light. No benefit in it. My word is heavy and is nutritious. Let's give the people the wheat. Is not my word like a fire? It may upset people, but it's a purification process. And therefore they will be bothered, saith the Lord. And it's like a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces. Those stiff neck, those hard hearts, my word can go in there and bust it up. My word can, but the lightweight can't do that. Verse 30 says, therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Y'all notice I've been saying over and over again, steal God's word, steal God's word, steal God's word. See, to steal something from somebody, sometimes you can steal it before they get it. For instance, you know somebody's going to get something, you steal it, you intercept their mail. People do that sometimes with income tax checks. They steal it before the person gets it. But another way to steal something is once a person has it, you talk down the value of it, and they just, oh, if it's trash, I'll just give it to you. God said the prophets steal the words from everyone from his neighbor. This is why false prophecy is something that I don't like. This is why I have a problem with men that will teach what they want to teach instead of God's word. The Bible said they're stealing the words from the people. Do you understand that's killing? That's just like me taking the food from Josiah. Gary tried to feed Josiah. He'd go out of the room. I take the bottle and empty it. I take the bottle and empty it. And after a while, they wonder, what's wrong with Josiah? Why is he getting so skinny? He got disease. And you steal the food. Do you understand when you steal the food from somebody and the person does not get to eat, they die? They become malnourished. Well, verse 31 says, behold, I am against the prophet that say the Lord that use their tongues and say he saith. Isn't this plain? I'm against the one that say the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. I'm against them. I got a word from the Lord, revelation knowledge from the Lord, and they use their tongues to say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err. That caused my people to err. They did the exact same thing that we just read what they did in the north. When the ones in the north, when Israel followed, we talked about Samaria, that's the north, and they followed Baal and they caused the people to err. And he's saying you're guilty of the same thing. You prophesy in Judah, you give your dreams, you give your false hope, you steal my words, and you cause the people to err. And what you've done when you did that, you went through and you caused the people to believe anything was right. You spoke lies against me and you called them to worship a God that did not exist, whether it was Baal, Asherah, or even the idea of me that's not true, because I'm definitely not a God that accepts any competition. And it says, by belief, I mean, by their lies and their likeness, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. I submit to you, if you know somebody that's teaching lies, that's a false prophet, no matter how big their congregation is, it's not going to profit the people. Even if they get money, even if they get crops, even if they have more cars and homes, it's not going to profit the people. The Bible said they're light. They're light. Lightweight. They're vain. Look at what the people says. Verse 33. And when this people or the prophet or priest shall ask thee, saying, well, what is the burden of the Lord? You know, because the Bible talks about the burden of the Lord. Sometimes the prophets will say, the burden of the Lord is this, or the burden of the Lord is on me. What is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. No more warning. What burden? What burden? I will forsake you. Now what about people that say the Lord will never leave you or forsake you? This is just a fulfillment that's back in Deuteronomy. If you forsake me, I'll forsake you. It's a fulfillment. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man in his house. So if one of them talking about, I got the burden on the Lord, I got a message from the Lord, God said, I'm going to get them. I'm going to punish them. Verse 35, thus shall everyone to his neighbor, thus shall he say to everyone to his neighbor and to everyone his brother, what hath the Lord answered and what hath the Lord spoken? You're going to be asking all these questions. What is the Lord saying? What is the Lord spoken? When God gave the word to Jeremiah, you didn't listen. You listened to the false prophet. And so now you're talking about what did the Lord say? What did the Lord spoken to the prophet? Because when we go to chapter 20, the next verse, not the next verse, but the next chapter, you're going to see when it goes to the fig tree, the figs, you're going to see God is already dealing with them in going into captivity. So this is going to roll right into that. So they want to say, what is it? What is it the people saying? The neighbor went to his brother. What did the Lord answer? What's the word? Got a word from the Lord? Verse 36, and the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more. For every man's word shall be his own burden. You've been speaking positively. You've been following positive messages. You've been speaking in your heart, no evil going to come upon you. You've been following the prosperity message. Every man's word shall be his own burden, for you have perverted the words of the living Lord of hosts. You perverted the words of the living Lord of hosts. Our God, you did that. What does that mean? Well, you've got to the place now that you've mocked God. You made light of what God had to say. And now you're going to have the fruit of your own doing. The next one, it says, verse 37, thus shalt thou say unto the prophet, what has the Lord answered thee? What have the Lord spoken? But since ye say the burden of the Lord is therefore thus saith the Lord, because you say this word, the burden of the Lord I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord, therefore behold, I will utterly forget you and forsake you and the city that I gave you and your fathers and cast you out of my presence. Because of your folly, what God has done, God is going to bring them out. He's going to bring judgment. He's going to mock them the way that you mock him. He's going to mock you like you mock them. He's going to cast you out of the land to destroy you. That's what's going to happen to them. And that's the same fate that's going to happen to those that follow them. Verse number 39 says, therefore behold, I will utterly forget you. I will forsake you. You, that's the people, the city that I had sanctified for my name, you've made it profane. I want to let it be profane. That's the city that I gave to your fathers and cast you out of my presence, and I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. And even to this day, are we not reading about what God did? Have we not read about how they talked? Have we not read about how they lied? Have we not read about the very things that they did that caused shame? How would all of that fit for us today? Jesus said that many will come to him in the last day. Matthew, I believe, 7:21. And said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name we had power. We cast out devils. In your name we did many wonderful works. Jesus said, I will profess unto you. Depart unto them. Depart from me. I never knew you. You that work iniquity. Many of the false prophets that people follow don't even know God. Don't know the God of the Scripture. Don't care about the God of the Scripture. They do just like they did in 1 Timothy chapter 6. They see godliness as a mean for gain. And we've been warned by the Scripture to stay away from those kind of men, those kind of teachings. But many of us don't read the Word of God enough to know that. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, those means by men by covetous means shall make merchandise of you.
But if we don't know God's word, we let them. What in the world are we going to do with all of these different voices of Christianity is out there? What are we going to do? We better learn God's word for ourselves. If it seems like God is being strict, he is. If it seems like God has a work for us to do, he does. If someone is going to tell you that all you got to do is have faith and that's all you need by faith, you're saved by faith alone, don't believe that. Because even 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells you there abides three things: faith, hope, and charity. Right? These three. And what did he say the greatest of these is faith? Charity. But didn't he say that if you have the faith to remove mountains, that you, if you don't have charity, you're nothing? Do you not see that you can have faith and still be lost? The Bible talks about that. And even Jesus' brother said, faith without works is dead. Being alone. We don't need an alone faith. What we need to understand is that anybody that would teach us always are right, that's false. Anybody that would take God's word and contradict God's word, that's blasphemy, that's wrong. Anyone that would tell you that God is less severe than he is, that's idolatry. You can serve that God if you want to, whether you bow down to a statue or not, whether it's materialism or not. Anybody that would make fun or ridicule those that say that God means what he says what he means and want holiness, that's mockery. And that's the means that the false prophets use. That's the method that they use to steal the words out of God's people. The faith or the justice, the means of their justice, which I didn't write down, is that number one, God's going to judge them by the same method that they use. He's going to use mockery. He's going to use mockery and going to cast them out of his sight and make their name, I would say, a continual hissing. I was going to use the B-A-S-T-A-R-D word. I can say it, make their name a bastardization of what a prophet should be, because he's just going to actualize what they really are. When you mock God, you are a mockery. When you blaspheme God, you are blasphemous. And when you take God's word, the chastisement of God, and remove it from people, you're making people become illegitimate or be without chastisement. You yourself will become a bastardization of what should be. And I hope this word that we got from Jeremiah chapter 23 will cause us to look more closely at what it is that people are doing when they're teaching. Look at what it is when we're listening. And to consider that God is not playing. It's not about you being wealthy. It's not about you being healthy. Although I believe that with God we can have all of those things. But if you're wicked and ungodly, you just gonna claim these sayings because some preacher's speaking into your life. It's not true. Follow God. Obey God. No matter what status you're in, you're gonna have life eternal. There are other countries in the world where people are suffering, still saved. There are other countries where people can't even go out publicly and worship God, still saved. There are other countries where people don't even have as much as we have here, even when we think we don't have a lot, and still saved. Don't you go telling somebody because they wear glasses, or because they had a leg cut off, or because they have a heart condition, or because they don't have much money, that they are not saved, and that you're supposed to have all this if you follow God. Some will and some won't. But the main thing is that if you're following God, you got riches, you got health, you got another body prepared for you, made without hands, eternal into heaven. This is what we have. This is what we want. That's what the gospel is all about. So thank you all for just, letting us go ahead and finish this chapter, because now the rest of your day you can do what you want to. You can even go and read this chapter again if you want to. Father, thank you for your everlasting word. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your glory. I thank you so much that you've allowed us the opportunity to see how the false prophet really hurts the people. And let us not be caught up in it. And to be able to warn and to righteously help anyone that's following one so that they can see your truth and not follow the dreams of men. Amen.